by when I was connecting, it was 11:37. I was right on time. And then by the time I was saying I was right on time, the clock ticked to 11:38. So
not on time.
No, I was on time. What constitutes being on time? The arrival or you pointing out the arrival? So I think the arrival itself is what counts as being on time. And then the words
you didn't arrive until 11:38.
No, it was 11:37 and it ticked. The clock ticked over to 11:38.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't really matter. Hi.
It's Friday.
Hey, bow, 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 bow. Time for Freaky Friday moments.
Jock jams.
Are y'all ready for this?
Man, ESPN, they used to be rich. They held the market down for sports reporting, and they had the jock jams. They've ruined themselves. making way for dudes like John Boy, who are just a normal dude who started putting out baseball videos. I'm John Boy.
What's I John do, Boy?
Jom, J-O-M.
Oh, what's John Boy?
Just a dude who does baseball analysis. He got kind of popular. I mean, it is very popular, but I think what started it was he would do lip readings of lip readings of the conversations that were happening on the baseball field, all the cursing and everything, not like those fake lip sync reading things where people try to be comedians.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, they change the words.
Bad lip reading. That's what it's called, I think.
Yeah. Played out.
Sure.
People want the real lip reading these days. As evidenced by
So John that's what Boy. John Boy did?
Yeah. ESPN couldn't keep up. Come on, man. Just didn't have the legs where the anchors would show.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what these words mean that you're doing.
There was a segment called Come On, Man on ESPN where they would show like some guy screwing up and then the anchors would say, Come on, man. It's not the same. It's kind of a little pathetic if you ask me.
That's cool.
Jock jams. Do, 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 do.
Y'all ready for this?
Such a dumb song. And that and everybody's pants down.
Everybody dance now.
Everybody pants down. We were so clever as kids. Everybody pants down.
I never said that. I never heard that until just now.
You never heard that?
Uh-uh. We did, instead of Ice Ice Baby, we did Rice Rice Gravy.
Right up the Weird Al alley.
Yeah.
The Weird Alley.
Rice Rice Gravy. Too cold. Too cold. Oh, too go. To go. To go. That's what it was.
I had rice and gravy last night.
Did you?
Yeah, I had the Japanese delicacy known as katsu.
Oh, katsu just means like fried.
No, well, whatever. The way that the dish itself is like fried chicken or pork. You're choosing rice and curry.
Right.
It's curry. It's not really. I mean, it's gravy consistency. Would you count that as gravy or curry? I mean, it is curry. They'd say it's curry, but I think it's a gravy consistency.
Well, isn't, I guess, curry, you could describe it as a gravy consistency.
But not all the time.
It's a sauce.
Not all curry is gravy.
Okay.
Isn't that right? Can't some curry just be powder?
I guess, but that's curry powder. That's not, I don't know what curry powder is compared to, no, curry, if you say like curry. You mean a saucy, depending on the type of curry, but like the umbrella term of curry, right? It's like a saucy, soupy, saucy dish.
Correct. And that is today's topic. Stick around for this episode of Gravy or No.
Welcome to One Topic, where we stick to one topic. My name is Autumn Fisher.
And my name is Greg Russ. That gravy they serve with dumplings at the Cracker Barrel.
That's a white gravy. Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with that mongrel?
I don't know. He will not stop barking. There's a whole contingent
of people who are going to start taking bets on how many times the beast interrupts the show. Overs and unders.
I know. Sometimes he's so quiet, and other times, not so much.
It's very unprofesh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If we used something as stupid as Google Meet or Zoom, they have this noise cancellation where you wouldn't even be able to hear the dog. But instead, we use this recording platform, Riverside FM, made for this, made for podcasting. Mm-hmm. And the fact they don't have that technology, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, but wouldn't that cancel out something that I'm saying on accident because it hears the noise and it tries to mute it out? But then wouldn't my audio be somewhat muted?
No, it knows. It's very complex and smart. It knows human voices.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was complaining about the floors being done in my neighbor's apartment. It got really loud when I was on a work call after that, and nobody could hear it. Like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Oh. I just canceled it completely.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it sounded pretty good the other day. Wasn't that happening when we were recording last?
It was, but it really picked up after.
Yeah.
I got to pause all these Slack notifications. That's another thing. This technology, if you heard the Slack go off, it would not read in the recording.
I didn't hear it.
That happened earlier. You were in the middle of speaking. You probably didn't hear it. It was the radio show Slack.
Oh, it was? Oh, I got that too.
Yeah, I don't know what was posted. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Something funny, something that no one will respond to. People posting.
Well, it's just the show notes and things.
People post in there. Please look at this funny thing. Zero response. Not even.
I don't post in there. I post in the text thread.
Not even crickets. You don't get responses in the text thread all the time either.
Mm-mm. Pretty rude.
It's a lot to keep up with. A lot of people, long lists of items.
Yes. Lists of items.
Yeah, which is apparently not gravy. That was a misdirection.
If you want to make the topic gravy.
Can't talk about gravy for another 50 minutes.
Hey, the Italians sometimes call it gravy. Sometimes they call it sauce. They call it the ragu.
Now I'm getting text messages on my computer. Did you hear that one?
No. But I was yelling about ragu.
I'm switching your segment from the future to, oh, well, whatever. This is for the radio show again.
Oh, okay. That's from Eric?
Yeah, that was from Eric.
Ooh. He's
I get direct texts from the host himself.
Woo-wee, hot dog. Ain't you fancy?
I the other day when you weren't on the show, mm-hmm. I tuned in at the beginning. So what was that, Wednesday? And Tim wasn't on the show either.
He wasn't?
He was running late. But oh, I didn't hear that. So I thought it was a day without you and without Tim.
Yeah, wow.
And so I reached out and said, hey, you want me to join?
Yeah.
And when I joined the show, I said something along the lines like, yeah, I was listening. Tim was there by then, but I said I was listening. Autumn wasn't there. Tim wasn't there. And I thought, oh, God, I got to come in and save the show. And I think Jared took it personally.
No, you think he really did?
It was just a joke and it was directed at Eric. But after that one day recently where I was really mean to Jared for no reason on the show, I've been hypersensitive to it. Where I made fun of him.
Oh, you think he's mad, but what inclination did he give you that he was mad that you said you were going to save the show?
I think I heard a hey, and then I tried texting him about baseball after that because the Braves were playing during the day and the game was going on during the show, and I said something about AJ Minter, one of the relief pitchers, and he really sucks and he blew the game a couple nights previously. And then he was pitching poorly again. I was like, that guy's a bum. They should send him to AAA. And Jared didn't really give much of an engaging response. And he loves to talk sports.
Was he just like, yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see it. That's it.
Oh.
That's it. I know. I did it. I pushed it too far.
I'd be afraid. I'd be nervous.
I'd be nervous. I'm afraid.
No, you know, I'm saying I'd be nervous that he would be upset by that.
He's got a long list of grievances against me.
He does have a long list.
All the times I've gone after him for absolutely no reason, for being a very nice person.
Well, yes, he is a very nice person. It's true.
I felt bad, and then I apologized.
It's just frustrating.
Well, he said that I've been cold and distant towards him. He just wants to make sure everything's okay. And I said,
wait,
yeah.
He said that to you?
Yeah, that going back to the day that I was really going after him. I can't remember the things that I said. I remember I attacked the fact that he plays audio, two pieces of audio at the same time. Like that was turning into a thing that he liked to do quite often.
Well, because he plays it too often on the show too. Like he'll play it too many times. Too frequently.
Whatever the other attacks were.
Okay.
So I apologized to him, and that's when he said, I feel like you've been distant and cold, and I just want to make sure we're okay.
Oh, you said that to him?
No, he said that to me.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm shocked.
I know I make myself a target. These are private texts now that I'm sharing. And this is there's no criticism. I said, I'm sorry. That all sounded meaner than I intended. Even if it's joking, I don't want it to go too far. And he said, I know I often make myself a target, but I do feel you've been a little cold with me lately. Hope everything is okay.
Oh, my goodness. What'd you say back?
I said, you're a good sport about it all. Can be fun to poke at you because of that dynamic, but I don't want to take advantage of your nature. That's not cool. I don't know why. I just got on a roll and didn't keep that in perspective.
Yeah.
So again, I apologize. That's for being cold. I promise there's no ill will. I appreciate you even if I didn't show it. I'll be more mindful of that. And then I come storming in the other day and said, here to save the show because just you two, and you clearly can't do a good show when it's just you two.
I would think that he wouldn't take that personally because you're not really saying like, well, I know Jared can't handle it, you know? So I think you're okay.
Oops. Anyway, okay. So what is you got a grocery list, a shopping list, a laundry list. Fuck are lists on your mind?
Because I've been thinking a lot about things that I want to get done. And they're in all these different sort of categories of things.
Before you die?
No. Like
by
errands.
By the end of the week?
Not just errands, but like just things that you think about. Like, oh, I got to do that. I got to do that. Oh, I got to do that. And so I started making it a list. And I've made lists. I always make a list. Like, I really like lists. And I just think it's... I wondered what you do when you have a lot to do. Like, does it help you organize your thoughts to make a list?
Go ahead. You like to do what?
Well, I like to have it written. I like to write it down and not electronically.
I like to get stressed the fuck out. I like to, like, for example, last week I had Fireside Mystery Theater coming up and I had to design all the sound and build the QLab file for that show, which is the program used to play all the sound cues back. And then I have taping coming up on May 16th, which, you know, there's a few weeks between the Fireside show. But there was conversations about the taping where my friend Liz, who's a comedian, has this pretty decent sized theater where there's going to be 7 cameras and she's taping her hour long show. And there was a lot of discussion about that. And then there's normal work. And then there's us having to do this show and it all just piles up and feels like it's pressing. And I think, leave me the fuck alone. All of you, what the fuck? How dare you invade my peace of mind? And I get really stressed. And maybe if I did put it in list form, I would see, oh, there's fucking weeks separating some of this stuff and it shouldn't be so stressful.
Okay. Yeah, maybe a list would help you.
And then usually in those instances where I get stressed, that's when errands happen because I don't like planning errands. So when I'm really stressed, then I'll do some laundry or I'll go out to the grocery store. That's some weird way to alleviate the anxiety and feeling. It's like time to clean the windows, not just the inside of the windows, the outside of the windows. So let's fold them down because the windows will fold in and get the Windex. Yeah. And it's time to clean this shithole. You clean the shithole, you clean your mind.
Does that help you? Do you feel like more, what is that called? Like regulates you in some way to clean?
I mean, it feels nice after, if you are feeling stressed and you have a very clean house after that, I feel like.
Oh, for sure. I love. Yeah, I get it. But like, I've also been. I feel it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I just feel like writing things down in the list helps me. Like the act of crossing it off feels really good. You know, and then it is nice because before. Okay, it's almost just like journaling, right? Because when you have like too many thoughts going on and you feel all discombobulated and like confused, you don't know what to do. Organizing your thoughts while you're writing, right? It moves it to a different place in your brain. And maybe that's what the list making does too, because before it just lives in your head. And honestly, like in a specific part of your brain that holds those types of thoughts, just like thoughts and ideas. And then when you write them down, it's probably the same thing as journaling, where it moves it into a more like a different part of your brain where you can conceptualize and actually like understand that these things can be done and look at them all here together. And oh, I can do this one right now, you know, instead of just like, oh, I got to do that.
Of course, our brains have a way of just jumbling things. Obviously, some people mm-hmm. can handle it better than others, but it jumbles things together and you make some kind of order of it and you look at it and you say, all right, this isn't so bad. I made a list this morning of all my stock market earnings. That was a fun list. Ooh. I went through and looked at all my executed orders and what I purchased.
I'm glad it was a fun list and not like a really sad list.
I made a little over $1,400 in a week.
Whoa. Just like last week?
Yeah, don't worry, I'll lose it soon. I'll be in the negative. But for this week, it feels nice to come out $1,400 ahead. Yeah, I bought a call option for Google, and they had their earnings announcement about a week and a half ago. And that shot up, and that option cost me like, let's say, $685. Did I bring this up last week? I may have, because it just happened. But I more than doubled the money. I sold it for $700-something. I mean, for $700-something on top of the initial $685 investment. So it was about $1,400 I sold that for. So I made a profit of $700-something. Then I did a bunch of smaller things, especially when I was sitting in jury duty the other day, not being called, I just sat in a giant room all day and they never called me for any kind of questioning. Oh, voir dire. Nothing. As the Americans call it, where the
isn't it bar guardavir or something?
It's vor dyer.
Okay.
They never even called me in, and so I sat there and I did these swing trades, and then when I added it all up, I'm up by $1,400-something.
But you're not going to take it out. You're just going to let it play.
It's just sitting in an account. I'll reinvest at some point. Maybe I'll take some of it out. I'm trying to decide what to do. Today, I was really getting into it. Then I started doing some day trading. I was like, slow the fuck down. Slow the fuck down. This is how you're going to lose it all. Just calm down. You need to be happy that today you sold a $180 Amazon call option that's expiring on May 24th for $9.25 a share. When the market opened, it tanked back down to like $6.95 a share and you paid $8.60 a share. Some fool, because before the market opened, it looked like Amazon was going to skyrocket. I set an automatic sell with a limit on it. And I said, this is what I want to sell it for. And as soon as the market opened, it sold. And then the person lost a lot of money. They didn't lose a lot. And they still have some time to make it back. But I was able to turn what looked like a loss into a gain. And then that wasn't enough for me. Then suddenly it was, I need more. Gotta give me more money. I gotta start doing trading.
You gotta, especially if you feel like you have a little bit of a grip on it, you know? then yeah.
Nobody has a full grip on it. This is, you know,
no, but
if it were so easy,
you seem to, yeah.
I'm sure stuff like this happens all the time. People have gains and they probably have stretches of losses. And that's why you need to be careful with this stuff and not just do it emotionally. It's the same thing with the damn sports betting. I mean, I made a list of that too. For the year, I'm down $900. Well, not this year. By saying for the year, if you go back to January, I'm actually up $5. But if you go back to when I started this shit last July, I'm down $900. Right. And a lot of that was chasing losses. It was, I blew my $40 and I need to get it back now. I'm going to make this bet with no fucking thought. It just looks good and I'm going to bet on that right now. And then you'll lose that one too. So, you know, you gotta collect
chasing?
Yourself. I stopped myself today.
Well, that's good.
After I did a couple ridiculous, you know, there were one of them paid off in 7 minutes. I made $50. I'm not talking about huge amounts here, but I made $50. And then on another one, I lost $40 in like 20 minutes. I was like, all right, just fucking stop. Just stop. This is not going to turn out well. This is just gambling at this point because you're not actually watching trends. You're just hoping that the price goes up or down in any given moment and you have no fucking clue.
Well, it's good that you're able to sort of check in with yourself and regulate because people that have a problem can't do that. They don't understand how people can. So that's good that you can do that.
I need that money, Autumn. I need the money.
I know. It's so appealing. Like, we got paid today, and I was like, oh, let's go to the casino and double it.
You should go.
I'll double that money. I mean, why not? I'm going to lose some, but eventually I'll hit it big. And if I don't, well, then I got to just put more in.
I was looking at real estate listings. That ties into lists.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's just fucking insane. Like it makes more sense
really
to
is.
Rent.
Well, especially for you in New York.
Well, if you want to buy anything and something comparable to what we're living in now, it's like $1.5 million. And then on top
of
that,
how big is your place?
I mean, it's not huge. It's a one bedroom, but it's, you know, got an upstairs and a downstairs. It's got floors and it's got a little lofted space.
Do you think it's like
square footage?
Square feet?
I have no clue with square footage. They never list that in New York because if you're buying, sure, the square footage will be listed, but rentals, sure. None of them have square footage because people know you're going to get a small apartment, but when you see 275 square feet listed, I think in your brain, it triggers something.
Right.
Like, I'm not even going to go look at that one. This place is much bigger than that. But it's hard to say. I think my house in Cabbage Town was 1,200 square feet. This is smaller than that.
I think it's like 7?
Maybe 8, 850.
Wow. And you're paying a lot.
I mean, it's a nice apartment. It's a good space.
Mm-hmm.
It could be more than that. I don't know. I'm pulling numbers out of my ass. But looking at these fucking listings, it's like, so it's $1.5 million with the interest rates now, obviously, and it's going to add a shitload of money to the payment. Then you got to pay the monthly maintenance fees, which are $1,800, and the taxes and the mortgage insurance. And at the end of the day, it comes out to be $8,000 a month, $9,000 a month. Who the fuck does this? How many fucking people are out there who have this kind of goddamn money? Because this stuff sells. It sells nonstop. Yeah. And I talked to a real estate agent. My friend Andrew he left New York and now he's moving back to New York. And he was subletting a place until he could find his own apartment because it's hard to do when you don't live here. And I went and picked up the keys from this woman. And I asked her that. I said, how are there so many people? She said, you'd be surprised at the number of people. Well, she said, one, there's a lot of professionals, a lot of lawyers and doctors and finance people. But outside of that, she'd say you'd be surprised at the number of people who have trust funds.
Really?
Just a lot of people who have a lot of money at their disposal, just given to them.
And how did they get the trust funds? Like how did their parents leave them that much money?
I mean, there was a time where even if you made a middle class income and you invested it properly, by the time you die and pass the money on, like, I'm, you know, not everyone's going to be rich, but you could turn that into a decent amount of money.
Right.
I don't know if that explains, you know, exactly where all the money comes from, but I do think that is part of it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like there should be that many. How can there be so many fucking people who can afford all of this? Because yes, my apartment is $3,500 a month, but compared to $9,000 a month to own something, it's not even worth it. Then you're responsible for the repairs. And I know you got the equity, and at the end of the day, you sell it and you make more than you put into it, hopefully.
That's what they say. Is that happens. That's wild, because I'm looking at a place here that's 3,000 square feet, four bedroom, four bath, like standalone home, and it's $755. So it ends up, the estimate a month is $4,700 a month, which I feel is still a lot.
Yeah. Is that 20%
down? Yeah, but if you have two people. I'm sorry?
I mean, if you have two people, sure, that's still a decent amount of money.
Yeah, it is a decent amount of money. But yeah, what's 20%? 20% is...
It's also no offense to where you live, but it is the suburbs. And the fact that suburban homes are now $775,000. Is it a townhome? Is it a standalone?
No, this is a standalone home. Yeah.
Either way, that kind of blows my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
$755,000?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Is that, that's just the new average? That's just what people, it's normal, I guess. That's a lot of money.
I mean, listen, there are other things available, but they are, the cheaper stuff is townhomes. Here's a standalone home. It's smaller and it's $575,000.
You got to figure out the
townhomes and stuff are like in the 400s.
And do those have homeowners association fees? Little,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And that's like $150 extra a month. And then there's these little plots of land that I always think like, oh, I want to buy it. It's like $50,000. I'll get a loan. And I'll just buy it and just sit on it forever until they need to like buy it out from under me.
I mean, that's a nice idea in theory, but...
Yeah.
I guess you would have to do a lot of research. And figure out, because there's no guarantee that they're going to need that land at some point.
Yeah, eventually they will.
But when? 150 years?
I guess I'll pass it on.
I think there are better ways to invest your money than just buying parcels of land.
I know. I'm just desperate to own something. Because I feel like I'm supposed to by now.
We've moved on from that. That's supposed to of owning. It's
well,
more desirable,
okay, societally, I understand, but yeah, and I understand the cons of owning a home and what people say are the cons of renting for your life or whatever, but it feels like not just societally, like you're supposed to have certain things by a certain age. It's more the idea of how wealth is transferred from one generation to the next. You know, I don't have anything to pass. Like, I'm going to have a home that will be passed to me, but I'm not going to have one to pass on to my kids. If I don't, I mean, as of right now,
you'll have that same home. You'll pass it on to them.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Or you'll sell it and get the money and then maybe you'll buy something. I also don't think your response, I understand that a parent would want to leave things for their kids, but the end of the day, and that's not your responsibility necessarily to do that. It's their responsibility to figure out their lives. And then
it
if
is,
you can pass things on, that's nice.
But that's how people, you know, make it, like get wealthy. And, you know, their parents pass on the money that they've made instead of being, you know,
my grandparents. I mean, granted, I got a few. When did I get? I got like $40,000 from my grandparents because my parents just gave it to me. I guess my grandparents said they wanted their grandkids to have it on my mom's side when it could have just gone to my parents. But, you know, my parents felt like they were doing well enough and passed it on. So at the end of the day, though, there was like $300,000 that got split up amongst the family. And I'm not saying that's no money, that's a decent amount of money, but it's not life-changing money. But to me, that feels like a nice thing. It's like, here's $300,000, but you're not setting someone up for the rest of their lives with it. It's certainly, you know, it's helpful to receive a lump sum of money. But, and on the other side, my dad's side, I don't think they had much money at all to pass on.
Yeah.
And,
well, and the trust fund thing and what you're talking about and passing down all your wealth to someone else, it really does hobble you as a young adult. Because then it's like, I don't really need to pursue anything, you know, and then you don't really find what makes you truly happy to do. So you just sort of are just hanging out and spending your money that you didn't earn.
Well, some people would say you have the money. It frees you to figure out what you want to do. Just do all the dumb little things that pop in your mind. I'm an artist today. I'm going to be a sailor tomorrow.
That's fine for a while. That's fine when you're young.
Then I'm going to do welding. Go take welding classes.
Mason's apprentice.
Glass blowing. Not to say
that. Well, I mean, like, I guess that could be fine.
They're in theory, they're all cool things to do, to have some practical skill that is rare. You know, I could go run a fucking printing press. How many people know how to do that now? But is it practical? No, at the end of the day, it's not. Few people can make it practical. Some people can parlay those things into businesses and make money off of them. But you also really need to dedicate yourself to it. I think people think, I just want to go blow glass and make these beautiful things. And then they do it for 2 weeks and they say, it's not working out.
And it's hard and it's going to take a long time to master. So it's like, never mind. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's the hobbling of never having to earn something.
I would bet that if you look at what most people inherit, it's not that much from their parents. Like, there are clear cases where people get a shitload of money.
Right.
And then there are cases where people get a little bit amount of money. But I bet there are plenty of cases where people don't get that much. And sometimes you get fucking debt.
Oh, for sure. That's the thing insane.
We were just talking about this yesterday.
Handling someone else's debt.
Well, Christina and I were talking about the fact that if you die, you still have to do your taxes. What the fuck? It's like somebody else has to do them. As you do your taxes, that question pops up.
Right.
And says, you know, this person died during this year. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you. You're still going to go after what a little bit of money you can get. It's insane.
They were alive for 3 months of this year. So, yeah, bitch.
Man, if you've got loans, and sometimes there's payments due on houses, and if you're the executor of the will, you got to figure that shit out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who put in bad positions.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. And that's what I said was, like, before I die, I'm going to try and get as much money as I can, and I'm going to bury it. And then my kids are going to find it.
Well, on your list of things
unclaimed
to do.
Oh, put it on my list.
Yes. Well, the list of things you're supposed to do as an adult, take the fucking house off. Just take it off. It's these days, it doesn't represent what it used to. It's still the better path to go if you can do it and it doesn't stress the fuck out of you.
I know. And that argument, I feel like the argument needs to be put to bed that, well, you're giving your money every month away, you know, to someone else, and you could be putting that towards your own equity. It's like, okay, kind of, but also, you don't own that home. You don't own it. The bank owns it.
At some point, you will. At some point, at some point, you will. At some point, it'll be yours.
Yeah.
And even if the bank still owns it, you're putting money into it, so you own half of it at some point. And when you want to sell it, you get all the money back, and you give half to the bank to pay off the rest, and you keep half. I understand. I get it. I know why it's on paper the better move, but it's not a realistic goal these days for a lot of people.
And there
it's
needs
absolutely
to be
insane.
Yes.
The Crofton, Maryland has $775,000 homes that are what? 2 bedrooms? 2.5 baths?
No, I just said it was like baths. 4 bedrooms. It was a lot. Well, yeah, still, it was big. It was still a big house.
It's not.
But
it's
what
not
what's fucked up is, like, is that the only way to build generational wealth is to pass down property? It's, or, yeah, and that's it? It's like, oh, is that the only fucking way? Fuck you.
Now
it's impossible to get into a house. And it's impossible to get more money from your stupid job because they all say they're doing so much better, but then they cry poverty constantly.
Hey, the jobs report, the list just came out today. This is how fucked up things are right now.
Okay.
So inflation obviously won't go down. So interest rates have been hiked to try to get people to stop spending money because you need to slow things down. That was the problem with the housing market. It just, the interest rates were low, especially after 2008 when they fucked everyone over and tanked the market. They needed to stir interest in the housing market again. So rates were just low for so long. And there's a shortage of houses. And then COVID really fucked things up too. And that's why prices were skyrocketing for housing. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, let's slow this fucking down. Jack the interest rates. So it really is out of reach for a lot of people. And the housing market, it has slowed down and it's kind of driven rents. Though I did hear in Atlanta, apparently the average rent has dropped, which is interesting. But in New York, it drove rental prices up because the people who would be buying weren't buying now because of the interest rates. So then there was more competition for rentals. On top of that, general inflation, outside of things like food, because people need food. And while it costs more, you know, you need it. So you're probably going to bite the bullet and pay higher prices. But other things, luxury items, entertainment items, despite the increase in prices, it hasn't slowed. People are still just spending the money. They're spending more money. So the idea is, well, they obviously have the disposable income and this isn't a problem for them. I do think there are people who aren't responsible and they just don't give a shit. Like, well, whatever, I want to go do this now. And if it's good for me to spend this, I don't care. So then everyone looks at this jobs report that comes out. And people there are celebrating because there wasn't as much of an increase in salaries as people expected. So in essence, workers are making less than was predicted and not as many new jobs were created. So something normally you'd be rooting for, people are now rooting against because if people are making more at work, then they're going to have more money to spend and inflation will never come down. So it was a real celebration today because the numbers were lower than people expected. Like, ooh, wow, people didn't make as much money as I thought. So that's where we are. And you also work in fucking media. So in terms of making money, if that's on your list of to-do items, you chose a terrible profession. Me too. I'm in media. Media always runs on this. We just don't really have a lot of money and we have to do layoffs and they let people go and then people start doing the jobs of six other people. And it's a dumb fucking industry, but it constantly attracts people. Because I want to do stuff that's on the TV and radio and magazines.
It's so depressing.
It's comical in a way. Like all the fucking Israel, Gaza, when Iran was attacking and people, I'm going to invest in oil because if this war breaks out, oil is going to skyrocket. Oh, right. I'm going to get rich off of it. What the fuck?
What like, disgusting. Good. More war is happening. That's good for me.
I can make money off of oil. What? And then when nothing really came of it, those people lost money. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, I'm going to benefit from the death and destruction of others by putting my money in oil.
That's how everything's being run. I think we were talking about it on the show the other day that nothing is for the benefit of the people, seemingly. You know, any decision that's being made or anything that gets pushed is for some benefit of someone in power or.
Yeah, people already got theirs. Just collect more. Like I'm already well to do and set, but whatever. It's not enough. Give me more. I want more. I'm in a position to take more.
Or I need to stay here to keep this more, you know, the ability to maybe make more. So I got to stay and I'm not going to do anything that's actually going to, I'm not going to bother myself with anything that's going to help people.
The rich get richer.
I mean, just honestly, I mean, just the fact like we don't have the money for infrastructure of fill in the blank for people. I'm sorry. We just don't have it. JK, we are going to give so much money to this war. All right, cool, I guess. And it's like, what? All right, then what are we supposed to do about it? You know, there's nothing. I mean, protest? Get the fuck out of here. What does that do? All it does is create media attention and then more division. So I'm not going to participate in that. There's nothing practical that you can do, it seems, to get anything done to change anything.
You can burn it all down. Maybe the January 6th.
That's what I want to do. Burn it down.
Maybe the January 6th people had the right idea for the wrong reason. Maybe in general,
yes.
If we just drag them all out and watch them piss their pants. No, they'll do whatever you want. They'll do whatever
you want. Please, you can keep TikTok. We'll let you keep it.
Old man Chuck Schumer shitting his pants. This would have happened anyway, but.
Lindsey Graham. Y'all leave me alone.
They're all fucking idiots.
They are.
I hate them all. I can't stand any of them. But they know it. They know they're untouchable. They know most people aren't engaged enough, especially on that. And that's still national level of politics. But outside of presidential elections, most people can't even tell you who their fucking rep is in their district. They're like, oh, I don't fucking know. Senators are hard enough. I think more people know senators than their reps. But and then you get down to local politics and only the worst insufferable people get on community boards because nobody's paying attention to that. And they just tell their friends, vote for me. And the six people go out and cast their votes like, I won. Now I get to make decisions for these whole neighborhoods.
Is there a way to see how much people have how many people actually voted for those things? Like, yeah, I know you can say who won, but
yes, all that stuff is like public 12 record.
Total votes.
I mean, the mayoral election in New York, which is a pretty big election, it's not aligned with national elections. So it happens in an odd year. And people are like, I don't feel like voting. I feel like 13% of people go vote in that fucking election.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok where someone was saying the aliens, if they ever come to invade, will be surprised when we're like rallying behind them to destroy our leaders.
Yeah. Here
we're
you go.
We're not fight against you. We're going to fight with you.
I was wrong. It wasn't 13. It was 21%. Much better number. 21% of registered voters cast ballots for the last in the last mayoral election.
What does that mean number wise? Like what? How many people?
I guess I could dig out further.
Of how many?
Yeah, I don't know how many registered voters in New York there are.
Yeah.
It's the lowest percentage turnout, 1.1 million voters. So we get about 500,000 per 10%, it seems.
Oh, okay.
So that would be 5 million voters.
Wait.
There'd be 5 million registered voters in New York based on these numbers.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then a million or so voted?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you know, obviously there's a lot of people in New York, so that number sounds big, but 8 million people live in the city. Obviously, not all of them are registered to vote, but 5 million are. You're not getting that many out.
No.
And these things, they matter, but they don't really matter because it doesn't matter whoever is in there. You can go out and if you had candidates who really were going to change things, then this would matter. But the fact that you're just picking from same old, even though so many people get hyped up about it, like, no, these candidates are so different and life is going to be so different if the one I don't like gets in. It's like, no, it's not. They're all idiots and they're all on the same page for the most part.
I've been rewatching Veep, so I'm feeling even more like sort of let down or something by politics in general or leaders that are supposed to care about what we're doing. It's like they, even when Selena, who's, you know, the vice president, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, even when she really does want to do something that is something she believes in, she can't get it done because then all these other things will fall apart that she needs in order to become and to get into power to do the things she wants to do. So she has to go against her own beliefs in order to get where she wants to go, where she can do, you know, it's like, even though she's a piece of shit, you know, there are times when even she wants to try and do the right thing and she can't. And maybe that's what politics is like, you know,
in order to get anything done, which is still going to be very difficult to get anything done. But if you want to have any chance, you have to sacrifice yourself. You're like, I'm not going to get reelected, but I'm going in my time here, I'm going to try to do what I can. But nobody's going to do that because everyone's made it a career. You want to go back to lists. Like, I've never really had a life list of things to fucking do. And maybe that's to my detriment. Maybe not. But I think these are the type of people that have every fucking step of the way. Like, when somebody asks me, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? What's your plans? Like, I have no fucking clue. I mean, 5 years isn't as long as it used to seem, but it's still a decent amount of time. And I can't tell you what's going to happen, what's going to change. And I'm not even going to try to influence it. But I feel like these are the type of people that I just have every step planned out until I get to my ultimate goal where I need to be so I can have my fucking power and then I'm not relinquishing it. And the question pops up, do people get into politics with the intent to do good and they're quickly corrupted, or it's probably both. You have some people go in just because they want the power.
It's a specific type of person, just like no offense to anybody, but whatever, the people who want to become cops, you know, it takes a certain type of mindset, you know, that makes you want to be that. And maybe some of those mindsets are to actually help a neighborhood, you know what I mean? And that's fine. But then there's another type of mindset that's something else, you know, and politics could be looked at the same way. There are some people that really do want to do good and like make a change and things, and then, you know, get in the system and fumble it and whatever. But then there are other people who just want the power.
Well, with police, I know everyone cites this story, but there was the guy who took the test to become a cop. And they said, no, you're too smart for this job. Like, you'll get bored. Like, you should be wanting people. That is real. I mean, it was in a smaller precinct and department. But I do think there is this idea that, because you need people who also are going to not question the chain of command.
Right.
And it's military-like in that way. You get people in, and if you are a free thinker, I'm not saying there's no cops who aren't free thinkers, but if you start questioning authority, you know, that's why there's so many movies where the cop goes against the captain's orders to figure out the fucking crime. But in
give
real
me your
life,
badge and your peace.
In real life, yeah, you probably would be fired at the end of the day for going against orders, even if you solved the crime and did good. Even if, see, Captain, told me not to, and the captain has to say, well,
you've got
right.
some unconventional ways, McClintock, but you're a damn fine cop.
Like, when I was a kid, liked the idea of being a detective. I was like, man, I would really like to
a
do
gumshoe.
That.
A gumshoe.
Then I found out you had to be a uniform cop first. And I said, fuck that. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to be a narc.
But at the end of the day, in theory, being a detective would be cool, but you don't pick your cases. You're told what to do. You're like, all right, go do this. And it's probably so many things being thrown your way that it just becomes overwhelming. There's all the fucking paperwork that nobody shows ever on the cop shows.
Yeah. Like all of their police reports that take a really long time to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So in general, I don't think it's set
dealing
up.
Dealing with wild people. Oh my God. And I think just like the mental stress of like dealing with the same people all the time, like constantly getting involved with the police. And then you get like jaded. And then you start, you know, seeing certain people as the enemy.
Yeah, the way it's set up by nature is going to draw certain types of people and retain certain types of people. Like you said, same as politics, anything where you can gain power, there's people want to do good, and then there's people who get into it because they like the idea of that, of carrying a gun and being able to order people around.
I feel like I talk about this too much, but it all just feels so depressing. Like, I got to stop talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, it might be something like, you know, when you complain too much at work, and instead of it being good and sort of like cathartic and you're venting, it turns into a poison that you continue to drink. I feel like that's kind of what's happening.
There's a line. There's people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one who likes to bitch about things happening at work, but to an extent.
Right.
There's some people take screenshots of conversations that are happening on Slack, and they draw arrows around the dumb things other people say, and they send. It's like, I can't stop.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
I can't. You're right. You're absolutely right. But if I go too far, I'm not coming back.
That's right.
I'm not coming back. You will lose me.
Yeah. I feel like I need, just for my own sake, I might need to not make it part of any discussion anymore. Because
I'll figure out what
like I said. Yeah.
You got to figure out other things. Like I haven't been to the dark room in a while, but the fact that I was printing my own photos, developing my own film, that was enjoyable. Now that I'm chasing money. Yes. Give me
money.
You're
going to sell your homemade prints?
No, just the stock market shit, which I will lose eventually, because if it were that easy, everyone would be winning. But you know, I see a way where if I'm at least a bit thoughtful, maybe there's a chance. I'm not going to get rich, because I also am not willing to put up as the amount of money I need to get rich. I'm trying to grow what started. You know, I put in an initial investment of $1,000. I had more in there, but like this is the money I'm going to play around with these stupid options tradings and stuff. And I've been able to grow that, and it's now $2,700 or whatever it is. Because there were a few other trades that weren't listed in my $1,400 I calculated today.
Okay.
And if I can grow that, am I willing to risk more at once for bigger gains, but also bigger losses? I don't fucking know. Probably not. I'm never going to get anywhere. And if you're lucky at it, again, there's this idea that the market's like, it's not gambling, because you can do your due diligence and figure out real. It's not emotional. Don't bring emotion. It's all fucking emotional. Anytime a little piece of news comes out, watch the way the market reacts. It's all fucking emotional. But that aside, there is this idea that you could at least be a bit informed, and maybe that can go your way 55% of the time. And if you can do that, then maybe you can make a little bit of money. But it's not, who knows at the end of the day, is it going? I'm probably too wrapped up in it, because I'm also looking for
like
things.
It. Yeah.
Well, it's new.
Like,
it's new to this level. Like before, it was passive. I would put money in and just like, you know, long holds and stuff. It's like, whatever. I'm just putting that in, and I'm not going to look at it for years. And now I'm trying this thing where I'm actively participating and trying to grow money in short amount of time with swing trades. I get tired of it. I don't know. Probably. In general, I probably need to get out and do more. Maybe having a list of items instead of just
list floating
through life. So, I'll do this today. Maybe.
Speaking of things like to get out and do, Joe was asking me about like, what are things that you like to go and do? Because he's like, we can do those things. And I was like,
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, a lot of the stuff that I go out and do are like errands, you know, or things that which I enjoy doing, and I'll like shop a little bit or something while I'm out. But I'm not really, especially right now, there's something like I'm not really involved in anything new. I mean, I'm crocheting still.
How much is there really to do, though? Go to a restaurant, go to a movie. I live in New York. You can go to a Broadway show. Okay. That's fine. I enjoy doing that. But what is it? I'm going to go out and drink. I don't do that anymore.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Like, there's got to be other. Yeah. But I mean, like, what he'll do is like he goes to a spot that he likes. It's a hotel, you know, and he sits in the courtyard, and he like writes, you know, or he'll like bring an art project that he's working on. You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah, but those sound like, I mean, they're shared experiences. Obviously you figure out things to do on your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could bring someone to the dark room and show them it, and maybe they would enjoy it. But in general, I don't really want them around, because I'm doing this like, hey, I need to focus on this.
Right.
I'll show you once, but we're not going to do that constantly together. Writing is something you would do alone. Read. I used to read all the fucking time. I know you're not a reader, but for whatever reason,
maybe I should start reading.
Since COVID, I just have not been reading.
I know.
I buy books. What's that? The phone?
Yeah, the phone really gets me.
Yeah, the phone's garbage. It's poison.
I know. Maybe that's something I should do, is like maybe take like a phone diet.
Camping. I don't fucking like hiking. I barely
No. You know, I have always said how I really don't need or want to go hiking. But, you know, he made a good point that I do like to point out different plants and things. I like to look at those. And so maybe hiking for me wouldn't be about like walking to get somewhere. And then you're like, that's what I feel like is boring. Like you walk and you're fucking just trudging through, and then you make it to the top and you're like, okay, here we are. We'll sit up here for a while. And it's like, okay, it looks nice. Yeah, it looks nice. And how long can it look nice? I don't know. Not very long, until you're like, okay, let's go back down. And then you go back down. I'm like, okay, the end. But maybe hiking for me could be about like looking at plants and figuring out what they are and, you know, identifying them.
Yeah, learn the scientific names.
Well, not just that, but like,
which ones are indigenous and which ones are brought by the settlers and the pilgrims.
Well, that would be a part of it. But for me, it would be more about like foraging. Like what's edible, how to identify different characteristics of plants that tell you that it's this edible version of this plant and not this poisonous version of this plant, you know, stuff like that.
And then you can say, trust me, watch this, and you eat it to prove that's not poisonous.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it is, and you die like the guy in the van in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. What did he eat?
I don't know. Mushrooms? Can't remember.
What was he doing out there?
He was mentally...
Yeah.
It wasn't insane, but there was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nobody rebels that hard and just disappears that way.
Right.
There's something. I don't know.
I mean, anybody that's like, even those people that are on like the History Channel, that show where they, it's not Alone, because that's a basically a game, but the one where they're homesteaders, or like they go out there and they live in they live in like the tundra for like 6 months of the year, and they, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's some History Channel show, maybe it's like Alaska People or something like that, where it's like they'll live in the town for a part of their lives, but then another part of the seasons or something, they'll go out into their little shack and like defend their homestead against bears and things.
And that's fine. I figure other people know where they are. With the with this guy. What was the name of that movie?
I don't know. I think
Wild Man. Dude who died in bus in Alaska. Christopher McCandless. What was the fucking movie called? With the Eddie Vedder song. Why is this fucking slipping my mind? Just tell me the name of the fucking movie, Into the Wild. I wanted to say Call of the Wild, which I knew it wasn't. The Wild. You know, people boost this guy up like some kind of hero, but the truth is he was a jerk. He abandoned his family and his sister, and they had no clue where he was and didn't know if he was alive or not. And anyone he met along the way, if you watch that movie, and I know it's based on a true story, so they took liberties, but everyone he meets, he ends up ditching, and he just disappears. Like, he's hanging out like, oh, yeah, I love that Chris is around. The next day they wake up and he's gone.
He's not
a fucking cool guy at all. Got some shit going on that he needs to figure out. But everyone has this idea. It's like, he did what he wanted. He pushed every fucking person in his life away and abandoned every fucking person he could until he got to a point where nobody could find him. And then he died. Wow, what a cool life that guy. No, not a cool life. No.
Why would people think that was great? Because they want to leave their families?
I guess there's this idea that it's just the most basic level is a person who rejects everything you're supposed to do in society and does the thing.
And like, does it his way.
Yes, just goes out and does whatever the fuck he wants at the detriment of other people who get to know him, not thinking about them at all and how his actions affect them in any fucking way.
People say, yeah, I really hate doing that in my life. And so...
There's a balance.
What he did was super cool.
There's a balance to this, though. It's like, sure, if you don't want to just go forward with the things that you're supposed to do on that list of life, fine. But, you know, you're going to encounter people, and how you interact with people and make those people feel is an important thing. It's an important part of that. It's like, that guy was amazing. I mean, sucks that he died, but people would still trek out to that bus to see it. and take pictures with it until they finally airlifted it out. And like they said, Alaska said, we're getting rid of this bus.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
People just
That's so weird.
Taking the trek.
People idealizing stuff like that. Man, people just don't have any insight into themselves.
No, we're
bored. I guess
bored.
It's too painful. But
we're bored to an extent. There's so much that's easy to do now. Like getting food is relatively easy. Mm-hmm. All the errands you have to do are relatively easy. Things that would take a day, you know, or you have to go to town from the farms. Like, I'll be back in a day and a half. I got to get supplies.
Uh-huh.
You do it now in a matter of minutes. You don't
have
even
it
need
delivered
to leave.
Right to you.
Yeah. You don't even need to leave. And our days are just filled with and people working from home. And I'm not one of these people that says that working from home, you don't get as much done. I think any full-time job, there's only so much that needs to be done. And working on like 40 hours a week is who the fuck's counting hours? I always tell people, I'm not counting your hours. You have a job to do. If you do the job and you do it well, I don't give a shit how long it takes. I hope it doesn't, you know, I try to make it so it doesn't take more than 40 hours a week and people are working ungodly hours. Sometimes you have to work late. Sometimes you have to put in extra work. But if it's a common occurrence, to me, it's not a good thing. Like some people's like, I work 75 hours a week because I'm a hard worker. It's like, no, you're being taken advantage of, even if you're being paid well for it. It's fucking bullshit and you shouldn't be proud. You are also probably bored and don't know what to do with yourself. So,
yeah, and they're clinging on to this sort of old mentality of what it's like to be successful. And
yeah,
it's like to be busy and miserable.
In general, working from home, like I feel like I'm very productive working from home, but it's probably bad that I don't get out as much and go do things. Going to an office, I think there's a benefit just leaving the fucking house. But with the shift in work and the ease of errands and just things that we need to stay alive, there's a lot of free time. People don't know what the fuck to do with it.
Yeah, that's probably true. And maybe collectively we're a little bit depressed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, there are people who entered the workforce who never worked in an office. There are people who don't know that dynamic. Like all they know is video conferencing and Slack and conversations, you know, written conversation. I guess there's some people, I mean, people are back in class, but there were people who started college and that's what they knew. It's like, we're doing classes online for now. Eventually you got back to being in person, but your skills you aren't developing too.
Sure. I mean, we're already sort of isolating ourselves a bit with technology, but then if the place, the location, the physical locations that sort of get you acclimated to being an adult in the world and navigating it through communication and body language, even reading a room. Some people are not getting access to that as easily.
No,
or
everyone's,
as frequently, maybe.
And everyone is so sensitive reading into things. That's why you have to write with the exclamation points and fucking emojis that are smiling. Because if you don't, for whatever reason, the implied tone, your implied tone is not taken correctly and the assigned tone is way off the mark. It's like, you were being mean. You used a period. What the fuck? You alien.
I don't know. You don't get that sometimes? I get that. Even though I don't trust myself that it's real, but I still feel it. It's like, oh, are they mad at me? Because they didn't say, okay, exclamation point. They said, okay, period.
If they are mad at you, who fucking cares?
If
a lot of these instances, if you looked at it and said, is this person mad at me? Does it really matter if they're mad at me? And if they're mad at me over the small thing I think they're mad at me over, then fuck them. They're kind of irrational.
Absolutely.
For the most part, they're probably not mad. And
all of that can be, you know, intellectualized away, but the feeling is still there. And all it would take is just a little exclamation point. But I understand why it's dumb.
It shouldn't be at this level. It shouldn't be a lot of people when they need something from someone else, like, hi, sorry to ask this, but maybe please, if you have a moment, could you do this? It's like, just tell me what you fucking want, because you approaching it this way is more annoying than you just asking for something directly.
Well, now, I mean, in Japanese, they have to do all kinds of, you know, I'm sorry, thank you so much for, you know, taking the time to read this. I need to ask you a favor, and I know that you're busy, and I appreciate your efforts. And
but yeah, well, we get none of the benefits.
Kinds of stuff.
We get none of the benefits. You have this faux politeness, but when you get out in the fucking streets or you go online, you know, everyone's rude. You fucking looking at me. You stepped on my toe. Fuck you, you piece of shit. No, that's happened in Japan. So yeah, while there's these crippling parts of the Japanese society, a lot of pressure put on people by society itself. At least you have nice things like no litter and trains running on time and clean spaces.
No one's stealing your stuff.
Yeah. People yelling at you because you glanced at them and made eye contact for a second. So
what are you looking at?
If you want to move in that direction, implement it fully.
Yeah.
Not this faux politeness.
Like, I'm sorry, yeah, I guess it's inauthenticity.
This thing. Yeah, it's the biggest problem with this society. None of it's authentic. Hmm. And that's the trait that I place the most importance on, authenticity. And when nobody is, you're like, what the fuck? I don't fucking fit in anywhere, and I hate all of you. I can't stand any of you.
Are you drinking the poison now? You gotta go into the dark room.
I always drink the poison. I gotta balance it out there. It's not poison. It's the reality. There's people out there. Not everyone's like that. I have friends. I have people that I connect with on this. And in some instances, I'm the one who goes too far with these observations and the person agrees, but it's too far. In other ones, I have people who are a lot more extreme than me and I get tired of them. But in general, there are people who are authentic and, you know, share the same values. But you look at a lot of the people, what the fuck? I hate all of you aliens. Yeah. I mean, I'm the alien these days, if this isn't the new normal.
I think that's true. No offense.
Wish I could leave. I'd leave this planet in a second.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to Japan.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you, but if I could please just.
Yeah. They'd say, oh, the American, he's brash, but he's allowed to be.
Yeah, he's too rude. Even though you said like so many things before you actually asked for the thing. You didn't put 17 in front of that. You only put 10. And that was so rude.
He only bowed at 45 degree angle.
Yeah. Yeah, disrespectful. Doesn't he know that I'm older than him? He has to bow at a 90 degree angle. He referred to me as he put a little inflection on this one syllable, and it meant that we're friends. And I'm 2 years older than him. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You chump.
Just call me uncle.
I just saw the episode of Curb last night where Larry finds out he gets a bow from a Japanese man. Then he talks to another Japanese man about the bow. And he finds out that the half bow he got was a sign of disrespect and not a real apology. And he gets really angry about it. So, tied right in. Fresh on my mind.
Sure did.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all I got on my list of items to talk about for today's episode, released on a Friday, which performs worse than other days, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's fine. We were busy. I had court.
Next week, we'll be better. Wednesday. We'll be better about time.
Okay, go ahead. Wrap it up.
All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. Or if you're not listening to it on Not the Weekend, I hope you have a great day. Love you. Bye.